Thank you, Angela. And it's lovely to be here today. Whenever Angela asked me to come and speak, there was no hesitation because, you know, I love going to different churches. I love meeting people who are coming together because even though we might worship differently, we might have different perspectives, slightly different theologies, whatever, we're all one family in Christ. And I think that's amazing. So thank you so much. And I hope that some of what I say is helpful. As Angela says, this is something I've thought about quite a bit, partly because I'm married to someone who has incredible energy and stamina and just has this ability to keep going and going and going, and I don't. And I've spent most of our 30 years of marriage comparing myself to him and feeling like I'm coming up wanting. And it's taken quite a bit of time just for me to actually accept I'm different, God's made me different, and I need a lot more rest than he does, physical rest. So this is something that, as I say, I've really had to think about. So today we are asking, how do we find real rest? And you've looked already about, you know, how are those kingdom principles, how do we live differently? Those kingdom principles in a world that is driven largely by less wholesome forces. And I think, you know, the turmoil that we're seeing this week in our country and in our world, those forces are at play. How do we live differently as followers of Jesus? Who are we listening to? What's driving us? Who are we trusting? And those things all involve a choice, don't they? Do we listen to Jesus and trust his way, or do we look in other places? And rest is the same. And if you cast your mind back to nearly 3 years, you know, we've been living with COVID, and that's, again, been something that's been really disorientating for us all, I think. And do you remember that time of lockdown, March, April 2020? And it was like the world took a breath. We stopped. We were forced to stop. We'll all have had different experiences of that, but for many of us, there was that sense of stopping, hearing the birds sing, and maybe seeing the world with new eyes whenever we went on that one walk a day that we were allowed, remember? Now, for some of us, we were busier than ever. Teachers, frontline NHS workers, other support staff. And this has actually continued to the point where I work in the NHS, and you know, there's a huge staffing crisis. People are just completely burnt out. They're leaving because they haven't had that opportunity to rest and recover. And for those of us, I work in management, I work from home most of the time, and sometimes the boundaries have become very blurred, so now it's like I'm living at work rather than working from home where I live. And I think we've gone back to those pre-COVID times, and then some. Being busy is a badge of honor. And when you retire, well, I'm busier than ever. So I think, how do we find rest in that? And I think in order to find a solution in that, the how, we've got to then diagnose the problem. Why do we find ourselves, it's so hard to give ourselves permission to rest? So I would say the first reason is our identity, who we see ourselves as. And there's a book that, it isn't written from a Christian perspective, but it's brilliant. And it's called Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less. And the author, Alex Soo Young Kim Pang, says, we see work and rest as binary. We think of rest as simply the absence of work, not something that stands on its own. Rest is merely a negative space defined by toil, ambition, and accomplishment. When we define ourselves by work, our dedication and effectiveness and wellness to go the extra mile, then it's easy to see rest as the negation of all these things, as a thing that it isn't. If your work is yourself, when you stop working, you stop existing. If your work is yourself, if your identity is bound up in what you do, then when you stop doing, you stop being. And maybe that's why we have to become busier than ever when we retire, because, well, our identity is our, what we do. But science, even science, shows us that rest is actually really important. Athletes know that they need rest in order to perform to their optimum. And even as far back as AD 170, manuals for Greek athletes prescribed periods of rest and recovery. People who take annual holidays are less likely to have a heart attack than those who don't. And in 2015, there was a survey, 71% of workers who took regular holidays actually found more satisfaction in their work than those who didn't take holidays. Only 17% of them felt satisfied in their work. So the first reason why rest is so difficult is our identity is bound up in what we do. But I think for Christians, the second can be a mistaken view of what God expects of us. And it's interesting that the term workaholic was actually coined in a study of ministers, church leaders. Tony Horsfall, who's a Christian spiritual director, he's written a book, Working from a Place of Rest. And he says, Christians are very ambivalent when it comes to leisure. There seems to be a deep-seated fear of wasting time, an aversion to anything that is not directly productive or spiritual. There seems to be a suspicion that enjoying leisure means giving way to the flesh that is somehow worldly. And we have so many noble tasks to do that amusing ourselves is not on our list of priorities. Hobbies rob us of our time and lead us away from being fully committed to God. I don't know if that's something that maybe is a sense. It's not necessarily something that you consciously ascribe to, but subconsciously can be a sense of, well, if I'm not doing something for God, then I'm not worthy. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, when we read the Gospels, okay, we're amazed at all that Jesus packed into 3 years of ministry. And Mark, in particular, the Gospel of Mark, he's got this really breathless journalistic style, doesn't he? The first chapter alone, it's Jesus' baptism, the call of the first disciples, Jesus teaching, preaching, healing, exercising demons. Wow, we're exhausted by the time we get to the end of that chapter. But actually, when you look at the Gospels as a whole, there's a bias towards the last week of Jesus' life. And on average, a third of the Gospels is about that last week. A third of Matthew, a third of Mark, a quarter of Luke, nearly half of John, okay? So that means that the activity in the other two-thirds of the Gospels is actually spread out over about 155 weeks. Do you get my point? That actually, yes, Jesus did all those things, and he did much, much more, as John says. But there was also plenty of time for walking with his disciples, for meals, for laughter, for rest. And he told disciples, come and get some rest. So we've got to have that perspective as well. People confuse laziness and leisure, or can confuse that. But they actually are different. And what I'd like to say is actually part of living differently is learning to rest, because the practice of rest and taking care of yourself, far from being a selfish act, is actually a practice, an exercise of godliness and an expression of holiness. And I'm going to just go through some principles that hopefully will help you in the how can you take a rest, okay? So the first is rest is actually God's will for us. It's what he wanted. He included rest in his creation. He commanded rest. Caring for ourselves is part of obeying God. If you go right back to the Garden of Eden, what happened the first day after Adam and Eve were created? God had a rest, didn't he? He took delight in his creation. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating he had done. So the first thing that Adam and Eve did was have a holiday. And, you know, right at the beginning, God instated that principle, we work from rest rather than we rest from work. And you think about how the Jewish people see the day. The day starts in the evening. So your first acts are to eat, relax, and get ready for bed. And you're well into the day before you start working. God's gone before you and prepared the day for you when you wake up. And the Sabbath, one day in seventh, that was a commandment as well. And I'll come on to that later. But there's been that reignition of why that rhythm of Sabbath rest is important. But also in Jewish times, you had feasts and festivals. Work was prohibited for the duration of the holiday. Three pilgrimage feasts, which took up to 16 days. 10 days of New Year, Day of Atonement. That's actually 26 days of festival in addition to the weekly Sabbath. So I think it's interesting that from a statutory perspective, we're to be given, I'm looking to Angela from your HR, it's 25 days, isn't it, that you're to be given a holiday. And then in medieval times, again, people worked really hard. They had to work to survive, but there were five major feasts of Mary, days of the apostles, and a great number of saints' days. These were holy days that give even the poorest people time to rest and to celebrate. And they've become the forerunner of holidays, and even the word holy day, holiday. So rest is actually built into our DNA. And if you think about, I think the French, after the French Revolution, tried to have a 10-day working week, and it didn't work. So that one day and seven, that rhythm is important. So the second, rest is part of good stewardship, as I said, of looking after ourselves. But we're temples of the Holy Spirit. We are carrying God within us to be ministering to the world. And so caring for ourselves is that part of loving God, others, and ourselves. You may have heard of Robert Murray McShane. He was a preacher back in the early 1800s, and he was known for his zeal and passion, as held up as this wonderful person who, you know, he did not fade away gradually. He burned out for the service of the Savior. And that's, some people hold that up as a great thing. Actually, what he said when he lay dying at the age of 29 was, God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. As in the horse, as in himself and his life. I have killed the horse, and therefore I cannot deliver the message. So by burning out, he died so young. So actually, looking after ourselves is something that helps us steward the gifts that God has given us. Thirdly, we also need to rest, because actually we're really fragile. 2 Corinthians says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We are jars of clay. Clay jars are easily broken. They're fragile. They need handling with care. Caring for ourselves is part of being human and recognizing that we are human. It's an expression of humility, of us depending on God's grace. Ruth Haley Barton, who's another person who's written a lot about spiritual disciplines and rest and things, she says, God is the one who's infinite. On the other hand, I must learn to live within the physical limits of time and space and the human limits of my own strength and energy. I am not God. It's just as well. God is the only one who can be all things to all people. God is the only one who can be two places at once. God is the one who never sleeps. I'm not God. We can't remind ourselves of this enough. It's pretty basic stuff, but many of us live as though we don't know it. God is God. We are not. We are jars of clay. We are fragile. But Rest, then, fourthly, brings about recreation. Through rest, we are actually restored to be more ourselves. And then, therefore, more of who God has made us to be. And we can think about rest in three different ways, and they're overlapping to a degree. And it's a bit of a sliding scale. There's relaxation, there's recreation, and there's play. And those are all parts of rest. So relaxation is what we do when we just don't have much energy. It's stopping, letting go of stress, not doing much. And my mother actually died recently, and I had 10 incredibly sleep-deprived days in the immediate before and after her going to be with the Lord. In the time since, I've had to give myself permission to relax. And it's been even more basic than relaxation. It's actually been recovery. I've been going to bed at 8 o'clock at night and just sleeping and just trying to, because I know that if I don't do that, I'm going to burn out. So we relax. Recreation, the next level, literally recreation, can be a bit more active. That's going for walks, hobbies, sport, music, all of these things that we focus on something else for a while it renews our mind. And Gemma said, going for a walk can really help. Relax. And again, on Thursday, I just needed to get out. I went along to Durham Park, and that was incredible. But that, for me, was that recreation, that sense of renewal. And then play. It's really hard to play if you're tense and stressed, isn't it? So if we're not rested or relaxed, we can't play. But if being able to enter into play, that's a way of reconnecting with ourselves and with others, that sense of wholeness. And that's time with friends, games, meals together, having a laugh, having a joke, that sense of playfulness. And I'm sure Jesus did a lot of that, actually, in his time with his disciples. And when we are at rest, our minds actually are still active to a greater or less extent. How often have we gone for a walk or woken up in the morning and suddenly found we've got the solution to that problem that's been niggling at us? Some of the most creative people took plenty of time for rest and relaxation. Think of Churchill and his naps during the day. And scientists are also found to be most productive when they work between 10 and 20 hours a week. And those working more were less productive, which is, yeah. So actually, that's the, you know, doing more by working less. Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." The Latin Vulgate translation of that is, "Be at leisure and know I am God." It's very hard if we're going full pelt to actually stop and know that we are, that God is God. When we slow down, it's then that we open ourselves to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and hear God. Be in leisure and know I am God. And so coming back to the idea of Sabbath, I would say fifth is learning to rest is the key to learning to live differently. The Hebrew for Sabbath is actually a verb. It's to stop, rather than the noun. The idea of Sabbath for some of us, and the way I was brought up, it was all about what we couldn't do. It was quite a negative thing. And as a child, I remember I loved the sound of music, and it was on a Sunday, and I wasn't allowed to watch TV. I was heartbroken, but, you know, because that was the rule. But Sabbath is that about stopping. If you remember Jesus walking through the cornfields on a Sabbath, he was told off for working, remember that? By picking the ears of corn. And he rebuked the Pharisees, saying that Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They needed to hear that we are not bound by those rules and regulations of this is what you can do on a Sunday, this is what you can't do on a Sabbath. But we probably need to hear the other way around. Sabbath was made for man. Going back, that one day and seven, that rhythm of rest and relaxation. And it is a commandment, isn't it? You have 6 days a week for your ordinary work, but the seventh is a day of Sabbath rest dedicated to the Lord your God. And that is the rest, relaxation, recreation, play, all of that incorporated in that. If you're like me, and why do we need that? Well, if you're like me, you've got a to-do list as long as your arm, or longer, and an attitude of life will be better, more under control, more free once I have this list completed. The thought of actually stopping for a day and not ticking things off the list is really hard to take. I really struggle with it. But actually, that sense of things will be so much better if I can do this, it's a lie. That list will never be finished. There are always things to do. There's always more to want and buy, always more to see. Choosing a day a week where we stop to refocus on worship and recreation, we're taking the attitude of trusting God that He will give us enough. Again, it's He is God, we are not. That He is enough. That striving to achieve is not the priority He asks of us. Rather, it's entering into the blessing of trusting Him and growing in our relationship with Him. And going back to identity, that stopping reminds us that God loves us for who we are, not just for what we do. And I think learning to stop that one day a week helps create an attitude of rest which spills over into those other 6 days a week as well. It's the rest of knowing that it's not all down to us, that actually God is holding us and we can trust Him. And that's whether we are being still or whether we're at work and facing a really difficult situation or whatever it is that we're doing. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about when He invites us to follow Him and take His yoke upon us. It's that rhythm of utter dependence on the Father, on His unconditional love for us and His provision, rather than us always striving, worrying, producing, and feeling it's all down to us. So, let's just finish with that invitation of Jesus as we seek to live differently through having that attitude of being at leisure, knowing He is God. Just take a moment, still yourself, and listen. What's Jesus saying to you here, and what's your response? Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And as we come into communion and we think about all that Jesus did for us, that's what He did in order that we can enter into that rest, that sense of trust, that sense of being able to give to Him all that's in our mind and to live in that dependence on Him. And that, I would say, is that is true rest. Thank you.